Sharon Lee is on the line. Sharon, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Really appreciate it. Can you just tell us what your perspective is on what's developed over the weekend?
Yes. All right. So what we understand is from their own reports that they have killed another four dolphins mm-hmm. in their second run, and all four were killed on May the 1st. So that's in one day they've slaughtered another four dolphins. Now, I just need to correct any idea that the government of Greg Hunt is shutting down this operation. They're not shutting it down. There is a reason why this, I'll call it factory trawler, because I understand some of your listeners do not like us calling it the super trawler and that we are emotive about it.
Yeah.
So this factory trawler is coming back to Geelong, right, to avoid being shut down. All right, their whole campaign would be to come back into Geelong, spend a couple of days on it, and then call the problem fixed, and then be able to head out again. So their coming back to the Geelong Key is not because there's a shutdown. They are just suspending operations for the time being to come down, so, come back, so they can so-called fix the problem. We do not want this trawler back out into the waters to do any other trial and error of any new devices or their current so-called devices that are supposed to exclude any mammals being caught and killed in their nets.
Yeah, I fully understand that it's a voluntary act that they've taken to return to port. The reason being, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, that they have a plan in place to deal with what happens when they have bycatch problems, like the killing of these dolphins, and those plans haven't worked out, have they?
No, exactly. So that's why we're saying that this voluntary return back to port is because they want to avoid, if they do not come back into port or they do not volunteer to come back to it, their whole operations will be may be permanently shut down by the government. So by volunteering to come back in, they can just tinker around a bit with the knobs and nuts and bolts with it, and then say, yep, you know, it's fixed, and we'll go out again and trial again. I mean, from the time that they left Albany, you know, all this was meant to be in place. All this was meant to be a guarantee that, you know, it would not happen. But as we can see, the two times that they have gone out to trawl, they have got, in the first run, they had four dolphins and two seals. And in the second run, within a day, they killed four dolphins. Mm. So obviously, whatever they have so-called put in place has not worked. I'm not even sure if they have been tested, right? And but these deaths shows that, you know, we cannot take their word that, oh yes, you know, we have put something in place and it should work. It hasn't worked.
Yeah, that's an important point, that whatever they're doing is still resulting in the death of dolphins, because I believe when we touched on this issue last Monday, there had already been four dead.
Yeah, last Monday there were four dead dolphins and two seals, and then
now it's eight. Now it's eight dead, is it?
Yeah, so now we've got an additional four, mm. right, to whatever the earlier haul was. We have another additional four. Now, just so a lot of people do not understand that if you and I go out there and we accidentally or deliberately kill a dolphin, there are penalties up to $110,000 per mammal being killed. Now, I want to ask the question, is sea fish going to be penalized for all these deaths? Are they going to be paying the fine?
Right. Yeah, because this is because dolphins are recognized as an endangered species.
Yes.
Yep.
So, yeah. And regardless of whether a sea mammal out there is an endangered species or not, right, that's the whole thing, our argument from the very start is this trawler cannot effectively target just the species of what they want to catch. These are the ones that they are forced by law to report to us. What about bycatches of tuna? What about bycatches of other species that, you know, are not endangered, that they do not so-called have to declare to us? We don't know. And what about all the mammals that didn't die in their nets, you know, but are terribly injured? Because can you imagine how it is for a dolphin or a seal to be caught up in a net that size and to be literally sandwiched, you know, to be squashed in with all that? They suffocate and they drown. You know, it is not a pretty, it's not like they get caught and they die immediately. They actually drown, being caught and suffocated in that mass body of catch that is in their nets.
Yeah, one point I wanted to just touch on, and we did try and touch on this last week, was just the entire super trawler situation. I know you mentioned that it's a factory trawler, and you know that perhaps in some other circles the term super trawler is mentioned. But how is this super trawler different? How is it more likely to catch dolphins and bycatch than any other trawler out there?
Because their nets are far bigger than what any of the local commercial trawlers are doing. And because they're going out there, they're going further out. And they're, now, the reason why this is... I won't use the word super trawler. We'll use factory trawler because that's what they are. They are out there and they are processing all their catch on board the trawlers. And they go through huge quantities of schools of bait that they catch, and they process it immediately. In order to catch that kind of quantity, they actually, their nets, the net that they use, the mouth is 80 meters wide, and it goes on for hundreds of meters behind the trawler. No local smaller trawler will actually have that kind of capacity. And that's also the reason why we are so against this factory trawler, because the quota that is set annually by AFMA is catered for that kind of massive kill, right? The smaller trawlers that are the commercial trawlers that trawl locally, owned by local Australian companies, they do not maximize the trawling capacity that this trawler does.
I mean, your organization, the Victorian Marine Animal Defenders Conservation Society, are you happy for trawlers that are smaller and locally owned to be going out there and you're just saying no to this super trawler, or are you saying that it needs to be changes across the board?
I have, personally, and our group, we have no quarrels with local fishermen and local commercial fishing trawlers that go out there and keep within the limits that have been set up by the local fisheries, right? We do understand. We do have, there is a local seafood market. We do understand that people do consume seafood. That's, we have no quarrels with the local fishing industry. In fact, we stand shoulder to shoulder with the wreck fishermen, the game fishermen, and a lot of the local commercial fishermen, especially those down in Portland, in Port Ferry, in Warrnambool. They understand what we are trying to do. We are trying to make sure our main goal and our main aim is to ensure that we have a healthy and well-stocked fisheries so that the people like ourselves who want to preserve and conserve a healthy marine environment for the next generation will have that. And as a so-called byproduct of that, we have healthy fish and healthy marine stock out there that others who want to fish as either recreationally or even commercially to within the limits that the fisheries have determined is allowed, right? We are fine with that. However, this factory trawler, which gets its permit from the federal fisheries, right?
Yeah.
They are completely ignoring all scientific reports. AFMA is even ignoring its own expert panels, right? Let's say you can't have that quantity of fish taken out from our oceans. You can't have them, you know, indiscriminately taking marine mammals out.
Yeah. Well, Sharon, I really appreciate you taking the time out to chat to us today, and also I understand that, it was at short notice. So thank you very much, and I think you've made your point very articulately, and you've explained a few things to me that I didn't fully understand, so I appreciate you doing that.
Anytime.
Thank you very much. Sharon Lee there from the Victorian Marine Animal Defenders Conservation Society. Very articulate and I think made a lot of very solid points. But we will try and see if we can get the other side of the argument on just to weigh up both sides, because that's what we like to do here on this program. We will go to a break, and joining us next is Professor Carolyn Witzman from the University of Melbourne talking about the Affordable Housing Summit.
Mitchell's Front Page with Mitchell Dye. Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 till 11 on 94.7 The Pulse.